meeting, March 18th at 8 o'clock. Can we give a warm welcome to our speaker, Christina?
I can remember, I always felt different, not a part of, less than, like I didn't matter, like I never existed, like I couldn't, I did everything because I thought that people didn't notice me, like I wasn't alive. I started hanging around people that were older than me. Started getting involved with gangs and just trying to find somewhere I belonged. And I tried really, really hard to make the people that I associated with to like me. You know, so I became who you guys wanted me to be. You know, I did everything to be accepted, everything. I never experienced love in my family. You know, everybody was always distant, you know. Everybody was always distant from each other. And so I started looking for love with men. This is going to sound funny, but I'm going to share it. You know, the guys would be like, come on, have sex with me. And I'm like, okay. In my head, I was like thinking, you know, when they were sleeping with me, that they were loving me. And they were accepting me, you know. And not even knowing that you're supposed to have an orgasm while you have sex. Right? I was just doing it because I wanted them to like me. And after I found out that you can have an orgasm, boy, it was off. my mom started selling dope, and it was me and my brother and my younger brother that was living with her, and by that time I was running away and stuff, and she knew I was using, so she was the mom like, okay, if you're going to be using, then you need to use with me, so that way I know where you're at. So we did that, and she got raided when I was about 13. We got taken away. We went to Jameson Center, and she was introduced to this program. You know, it took her about, I think, 2 years to get us back. And by that time, you know, I was still doing what I wanted to do, you know, and I became pregnant with my first son at 14 and had him when I was 15. And I didn't know how to be a mom, you know. I didn't know how to be emotionally available for him, and I still don't today. I still don't know how to be there for my, I don't know how to relate to my children. The disease of addiction has, not knowing how to do it, you know, you need to be shown before you can do it. If no one shows you, then you don't know how to do it. And, that's something that I'm learning today. When I went back with my mom, you know, it was still the same thing, you know. Me and my mom used to get in fist fights where we beat the hell out of each other. So we were bleeding. Like, we didn't, like, we were two people from the street, you know. And I remember, you know, her fighting with me one time after she got us back. When we got in a real ugly fight. And I had bruises on my face. And she was still, you know, we were still a ward of the court. And, or dependents of the court, I'm sorry. And I remember, you know, I left and I went to my dad's house down the street. And I stayed there with my son and the CPS worker. When I went back home, my dad had took pictures. And he wanted her to get in trouble for it, you know. And, the CPS worker came with the pictures and she said, who did this? She goes, did your mom do it? And I said, no. And the reason why I said no was because that I knew my mom would let me do whatever the hell that I wanted to do. And I knew that if I went to a foster home that I wasn't going to have that with them. So I stayed, and I ended up running away because she didn't want to let me be with my son's dad, my boyfriend at the time. And I ran away, and I went, and I left my son with his dad, and I was reported as a runaway, and he was reported as a missing child. My kid's dad and my sister and a couple friends decided to go to the beach. And there were two cars, right? And I was in one car with my kid's dad and two other friends. And there was another car. My sister was in the car and some other guys, and that car was stolen. We didn't even know where the hell we were going. We were just going, you know, up towards LA. And we got off on the Burbank. I don't know what the fuck we were doing there. I found out that there's not a beach over there. And the cops seen bald heads and a bat in the bag and stopped us. And they ran my name. And I went to from Juvenile Hall over there, which I liked because you could be in the same room with guys. And anyways, they asked me where my son was, and I told them. CPS got involved and took my son. They asked me if I was using drugs, and I told them all the drugs that I used. And I got a CPS case. And at 17, you know, I'm thinking I know it all and everything, and they started drug testing me, and I was like, okay, I know I'm dirty for weed, and I know I'm dirty for PCP, so I'm going to keep on smoking it, not knowing that they were checking my levels. And every time that I took a drug test, my levels were getting higher and higher and higher. And I went through the counseling, and I went to the parenting neglect, and I completed it. I completed it, loaded. Because I wasn't ready then. And during that time, I got pregnant with my daughter, and they took her from the hospital, and I managed to get them back. And 2 months later, I lost them again because I was still getting loaded. And the reason I was getting loaded was because I didn't know how to live life on life's terms. And I had a significant other who didn't complete the classes, who didn't drug test, and who still wanted to get loaded, you know. And I wanted him to change, just like I, you know, I wanted him to stay clean, so we could be this family that I had fantasized about for a long time. And he didn't do that, you know. And every time that I would get pissed off at him. Then I would go out and I would get loaded, you know, kind of like, you're hurting me, so I'm going to hurt you, because I want you to pay attention to me. And so I wasn't, when I got my kids back, I got a place, and I wanted him to stay there with me, and he wasn't allowed to. And I remember going to the welfare to get emergency food stamps. And I was loaded. I was burned out for a couple of days. I took his car, and I came back home. And I was bullshitting around during that time after I got done with the welfare and stuff. Me and my sister went to go hit up my dad for some money, and, you know, we're just bullshitting. And I got home, and he's standing outside, and he says, the kids are gone. And I was like, what? And he is like, the kids are gone. You want to go get loaded? And called the CPS worker, and they were like, drug test for me. And I was like, okay, knowing damn well I'm fucking dirty. You know, I guess somewhere in my mind I thought if I told them that I would drug test for them, they would give me back my kids, you know. And so I tried to start all over, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay clean. I didn't know how to live, you know. And then I got pregnant with a third child, and I was getting loaded the whole time with him. And I went to Jason's Retreat outpatient program, and they were telling me about this program that there is for women, and that if you're pregnant, you can go into this home, which is a mommy house. And I was like, hell no, I got my house, my kid's dad's at home, and I ain't gonna fucking go and be locked down. And so I didn't go, and things got progressively worse. We ended up losing that house, that apartment that we had. We ended up smoking up all the money that we had for the rent, and we left everything that we owned in that house. And and we went to go live in a garage. and then we got another apartment, and trying to stay clean and only using, you know, you stop for a little bit and you think you're all right, and then you pick up again and you stop for a little bit and you think because you stop for a little bit you're all right. That relationship was very, very abusive. Very, very abusive. And I would want to leave, and he would beat the crap out of me, and he wouldn't let me leave, you know. And this is pregnant. This is 7-8 months pregnant, where he would throw me on the floor and just like that, like I was nothing, you know. And I allowed that to happen because I felt like nothing, you know. I had that baby and I was all tweaked out and burned down. They took that baby. He ended up getting locked up. I was like, how the fuck am I going to pay the rent? And, you know, if addicts are like, oh, I could sell some, well, me, I was like, I'm going to sell some KJ and I'm going to make some money and that's how I'm going to pay my rent. Well, I never paid my rent. I always got loaded. Things really got bad. Things really got bad for me. You know, I did some things out there. I learned at a very young age how to make money, and that was either sleeping with a guy, manipulating a guy, or stealing, whatever, you know, it didn't matter. I'm going to go back a little bit. When I was about 13, I was running away and I was out on the streets, and I needed some clothes to wear. I didn't have any more clothes to wear. I needed something that was new, you know. I had met this old man, you know, he asked me, you know, if I would have sex with him. I'm like, no, you know. And I wasn't even really on drugs that bad, you know what I mean? But I was still using. You know, I started letting him touch me for money. You know what I mean? I started letting him masturbate to me, you know, wife. And everything that I did always made me feel less than, you know. You know, my addiction went to the point, you know, I would go, I don't know, lost my train of thought, excuse me. My addiction, I've been through some bottoms in my life, and I'm only 22 years old. I've been through some shit where people in their 40s go through, you know, that people in their 40s or 30s experience, you know. My addiction took me to the point where I felt that everybody was out to kill me. My family was against me. My family was plotting on me. All the people that I robbed were coming after me to get me, that they were watching me. I was hearing voices from the vents, from people on the TV were fucking talking to me, and I was talking to them back. Literally having conversations with people that weren't there. I remember going to my sister's house, and I'm just fucking disillusional and fucking just seeing people and hearing things that aren't really there. And I'm talking to her, and she says, "What is wrong with you?" And she tells me, "Christina, you need help." And at that moment, I had a moment of clarity that there was something wrong with me. And I started crying because I didn't want to believe that there wasn't really people talking to me. That shit was real to me. But it wasn't real. You know what I mean? I had have been schizophrenic in my addiction about this time that I'm talking about hearing the voices and stuff. And when I higher power, whom I choose to call God, intervened at that time. And I started going to church. And I stood clean for a minute, going to church. And I tried to go back to a relationship that I thought that, you know, because I was the one that was out there on the drugs that bad, that I was the problem, which I was. And I tried to go back to this relationship and make it work, and I told him, I'm sorry, please forgive me, please take me back. And we tried it, you know what I mean? And I was going to church, and you know, when you go to church, you're not supposed to have sex out of wedlock and all this stuff, you know, because, you know, God had really changed me at that point in my life. And I was clean for a while, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do drugs, I didn't listen to the music that I listened to anymore, and he was still drinking and smoking weed, and he didn't think that smoking weed was a drug. He couldn't keep a job, but he still thought that weed wasn't a drug, and it didn't affect his life. And I tried very hard to stay by his side, you know. He didn't like the person that I became, because, you know, I was a different person. I didn't want to have sex with him anymore because it was wrong. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke weed. And I was interfering with his using. And I finally gave in. And I started smoking weed. And I did it for a little bit. I thought I did it pretty good for a little bit, just smoking weed, because I wasn't doing dope anymore. And smoked some weed when I got off work, or smoked some weed before I went to work. And I was okay. I was cool, you know. Things have changed. I wasn't the person I thought that, because I wasn't out there, you know, homeless or jobless. I had money in the bank. I got an ATM card, and it progressed, you know. Smoking weed was just, it wasn't enough. It wasn't my choice of drug, but I still used it because I needed something, you know. You know, during that time, I didn't cheat on him or anything. You know, I was just going to work, coming home, whatever. A friend got out of... A friend got out of prison, and he started going to my work and stuff, you know. And one night, you know, it was a Friday night. One night, we decided we were gonna go and smoke some chronic, and you know, everything was gonna be all cool. Well, we went and we did that, and we're smoking some dope, you know, and it started from there on. You know what I mean? I thought because I wasn't in the position where I was when I was hearing them voices or selling my body, that I was okay. You know, I can go to the ATM machine and pull out a 20 and go buy a dub sack, you know what I mean? And it didn't work, you know. I ended up taking out more money than I had. And I ended up right back where I started from. I remember going to a friend's house, and I was, you know, still going to church and stuff, and whatever. And I just wanted to see what they were doing, you know. I seen an old friend of mine pull up there, and I was like, fuck them bitches. He don't want them. He wants me. you know? And I was like, in my head, I was like, watch when I make an appearance. His focus is going to come off them and on me, you know? And I remember, and there was about 8 or 10 girls that I used to get loaded with, and they're all going to the room, and they got some crystal. And I was like standing outside, and they all go to the bathroom, and they're all happy and shit because they got some dope. And I go over there, and and they knew that I had changed, you know, that I wasn't where I was before, and they're, you know, all doing what they're doing, and I'm like, let me hit that shit. And they're like, Christina, no. I was like, bitch, let me hit that shit. And it started on from there, you know. And I remember this was a place, you know the dope spots, the kickback spots where everybody shows up and everybody's partying and stuff. You know, the guys are there, the girls are there, and I never ever wanted the party to end. I wanted the party to keep on going, and I remember I hooked up with this guy, right, and he was fine and stuff, but I was always looking for someone to fix me, someone to make me feel okay with myself, you know, somebody to love me, because I couldn't love myself. And I remember right after we've been up for a couple of days partying and stuff, and the house is empty. There's nobody there. And I remember waking up and crying, because what the fuck did I do? When I went on that Friday night to go and kick it with my homeboy, my kid's dad was calling me, and he was calling me and leaving me messages, putting my kids on the phone so I can hear my kids, you know. And I was like, why did I throw, you know, I fucked it all up again, you know. And I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back, you know? How are you just going to be at one place and the next you don't show up for, you know, weeks, days? And so I end up moving in there, right? Because that's where the party was at, you know? And I still kept the job for a little bit. That didn't last very long because I would rather get loaded than go to work. You know, I didn't want to miss whoever was going to come by. we ended up getting, after that, I messed with this guy and I got pregnant. Not the guy that I was with before, but I got pregnant by some other guy. And I didn't want this child. Didn't want her. I just didn't want her. How was I going to tell this dude that I was with for 6 years that I got pregnant by somebody else? And I kept it a secret. We ended up getting back together, and we moved with my mom for a little bit. And or he would come by and see me, and then he moved in. And I was about 4 months pregnant, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have an abortion. I'm going to get rid of this baby. And I really started thinking about an abortion. I made an appointment. I kept getting loaded. And while I was keep getting loaded, I just wanted to do so much dope that she would go away. That maybe I would have a miscarriage and I wouldn't have to deal with this. You know, I started feeling my baby move, and I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? I even went as far as going for the ultrasound to see how many weeks I was. They were going to send me to LA, and I couldn't do it, you know? So I was like, okay, then I'll give her up for adoption, you know? Then I started thinking about where I was going to be, you know, because life at that point was not good, you know. I felt so much pain inside, so much loneliness, so much despair, so much just so much pain inside, you know. And I finally told him one night, the guy that I was with for, you know, 6 years, I told him, I said, we were laying down, and I put my hand, I put his hand on my stomach, and I asked him, will you forgive me for this? And I don't remember what he said, but we stood together, and he said that he was going to stay with me, you know, he didn't care. And so I had to make a choice, you know. Certain events happened. Me and my mom, like I said, we don't get along very well. She kicked us out. And so we went and we stayed at a friend's house, and I was, you know, I was trying to stay clean, you know. And so I go through the phone book, and I looking at this mommy house, you know what I mean? Because at that time when I told you that they told me about this place, a seed was planted there, and it came up right at the exact time that I needed it. And so I called them, and I got called every day to see if there was a bed. I ended up moving with my little sisters, and that didn't work there. So I moved with my other sister, and I was staying clean. And because I knew I had to stop, you know, I knew I had to stop if I was going to try to keep this baby and change my life. And so I kept calling every day for that home to see if there was a bed. And I remember I was staying with my sister, and she's an addict, and we did the same drugs. And I remember her and her husband had this guy come over, and he had dope, and they went upstairs. And I was like, fuck, man, I'm left out. And I wanted to get loaded so bad, you know what I mean? And my sister was like, don't even think about it. You know, I wanted to go up them stairs and get loaded. And finally, the time came where they called me. I called, and they told me to come in. And by that time, I'm fucking scared. I'm like, no, I'm making up all these excuses, right? Because I had smoked some KJ. And I was like, no, I'm not clean yet. I wanted to go in there clean, you know, where I take a test and there's nothing in my system. Because I knew that when they took that first test, that CPS was going to look at that first test, you know. And I wanted to lie to them about the last time that I used. I wanted to lie to them and tell them about the last time that I used dope or KJ. And so I went into that home, and I was so mad at God. I was so mad at God that he took me out from the pit and placed me into a whole new life when I was going to church, and then for it to fail, you know, for me to go back to using, to that misery, you know. And so I would see other people that I used to go to church with, and I'd be like in my head, fuck, they're praying for me, I'm going to change. Fuck, they're praying for me, I'm going to change. Because somebody had prayed for me to get clean. You know, and so I go to this home, and they're talking about God, right? And I was like, fuck, man. It's like, I just left church where God was at, and then came back, and here's God again, you know. And I went to my first meeting, and they told, I don't know what happened. Something happened there where I got hope, that I got faith that I too can change, because I heard my story. I heard a story about people sharing that they used to use drugs, they got their kids taken away, and I identified, you know. And I kept going to the meetings. I loved them meetings, you know. It finally got to a point where I was still in that relationship, and you know, part of the reason why I got my kids taken away was because of this man not complying with the courts. And I knew that, you know, he didn't want to stop doing what he was doing. He didn't want to stop getting loaded. He didn't want to stop drinking. And so I came to a point in my life where I had to let it go. And because I wanted to keep my daughter. I'm going to try to hurry up here. I know I have a little bit of time left. I started working my steps. I got a sponsor. I called that sponsor and let her know what was going on with me. When I was hurting, I would call her, and I built a relationship with her. God, I wish I had a lot more time. When I got into that home, I jumped into parenting neglect because I knew what I had to do. And I was already in a substance abuse environment, so that counted for substance abuse. I had my daughter, and they took her from me. And it was the most painful time that I had experienced, because here I wanted to stay clean. Here I wanted to change, and they come and they take my daughter. And I wasn't even doing any, you know, I was really wanting at this time. And they gave me a little bit of hassle. They didn't want to give me services, and they signed, CPS signed papers for adoption. They weren't going to give me any more services. And I went to court, and I stayed in the home. I had to really trust my God that that he didn't give me a child to take her away from me. And they offered me services. I got out. I completed that home. I got out, got a job, saved up money, got my own place, got my daughter back. It's been over a year since that case has been dismissed. And life is different today. Life is really different. I continue to work my steps. When I left that home, I didn't stop working my steps. I kept on working my steps. I kept on calling my sponsor. I kept going to meetings. And I surrounded myself around recovering addicts. And I kept going to meetings. You know, when I first got into the home, you could bring your kids on the weekend. And they could spend a night. And I had my oldest son. He's with my grandmother and her husband, and they adopted him. And I put that little boy through so much pain, not just him, my other kids, but he was the one to remember it. And every time that my grandma had, when she got him, they would drive by the CPS, and he was thinking that she was going to leave him there, you know. And I called and asked, I was going to ask them if they can let my son come over, you know. I was like, hey, you know, they let your kids come on the weekends. Can I have my son here? And her husband was like, Christina, I don't think you get it anymore. He's not yours. And I just fucking clicked. And I started crying. And the thought went through my head, what am I doing this for then? I stayed there, though. And I'm trying to build a relationship with my children today, because they are here in Bakersfield. And I do get to see them, and I do get to call them, and I do make an effort to try to be in their lives today. And God is teaching me how to be a mom. You know, he really is. He's teaching me how to be a mom. He's teaching me how to be a productive member of society. And today I had a little family gathering at my grandma's house, because it was her brother's birthday, whatever. And I had put my family through some shit. And I was praying to God a couple of weeks ago, maybe this last week, that God, please let me have a relationship with my oldest son. You know, because every time, the only time that I get to see him is when there's family gatherings, or it's a holiday. And even then, her husband, you know, they're like real threatened by me, you know, that I'm his mother, you know. And they try, and I don't think that they do it to try to be mean. I just think they try to do it to protect him. And today I was leaving a Walmart. I had to go and buy my daughter some diapers, so I was leaving the party. And my son's like, Mom, can I go with you? And I was like, oh, ask your mom. because, you know, she's raising him. And she says no. So I said, okay, no big deal. I lost my car, and that's not nothing out of the ordinary for them to say no, you know. And she walks, my grandma walks to the car, and she was like, where are you guys going? I said, I'm going to Walmart. I need to go buy some diapers. And she lets my son go with me. And that's a miracle in itself. And there have been some times where I wanted to give up. There have been some times where life has been hard, and I didn't think that I can handle this because I always ran from life. And that's how my God works in my life. I'm not going to say that I work a perfect program because I don't. I'm not going to say that I don't have character defects because I do. I'm not going to say that I don't harm anybody today because I might do it not knowing that I'm doing it. You know, and I won't realize it till after the fact, after I say something and then realize, oh, shit. This program has given me a God, my own understanding. And I ask this God because I got this God that's a punishing God. You know, from church, you know, if you have sex, you're going to hell. If you cuss, you're going to hell. And everything was like, I always felt that I was walking through life on eggshells around God. And today, you know, I ask the God of my understanding to reveal himself to me, to reveal his character to me, you know, and he does. And little by little, I'm trusting him. I don't trust him with a lot. But I am learning to have faith in him and to trust him that he is my provider. I can't say that I don't think about using because I do. I'm an addict. I'm going to share this and I'm going to close. I know that I'm going over. You know, I'm not in a relationship right now. And I have met some guys in here in recovery, and they're newcomers, and they go out and they get loaded. They go out and they get loaded, and it fucking breaks my heart because you build emotional bond with them and you want to believe that they're going to stay. And I don't like to feel that pain. You know, I don't like to feel that pain because once you get loaded, I might let you stay for a couple more days, but sooner or later, you're going to be out of my life. Because I can't be around anybody that's using. And I'm barely learning how to live life on life's terms. And I don't think that I can handle somebody that keeps getting loaded and deal with it. Thank you guys for letting me share. I hope that, you know, I gave somebody hope today. And my name is Christina and I'm an addict.
Let's thank her one more time. All right, that's all.